Blog Talk Radio.
Koda, Mojuba, Asheda, Mojuba, Aluwa, Mi, Apolabi, Pega, Mojuba, Araba, Mi, Adesanya, Awuyade, Mojuba, Ogute, Compound, Ode, Remo, Mojuba, Baba, Mojuba, Yeye, Mojuba, Egun, to all the God children, Mojuba, Egun, to all the Babalawos, the Ears, Mojuba, Egungun, to all the chiefs, Mojuba, Egungun, to all the Awos, Mojuba, Egungun, to all those that are listening, who are tuned in. We give praise and thanks to the Most High. We say Ashe, 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 Ashe,
Ashe,
Ashe, welcome to Sign of the Times, everyone. This is Queen Tahira. Sign of the Times is brought to you by the UAC, the United African Coalition for Justice and Human Rights. Every Sunday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we invite you to participate in our weekly conference calls. The number to dial is area code 712-432-1500, and the access code is 220-981-POUND. Again, every Sunday, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Please call in and let us know what you think about Sign of the Times, the work that UAC is doing, and how we can support you on a local level. The number to dial is area code 712-432-1500, and the access code is 220-981-POUND. We also ask that you please support our sponsors, Manhood Racing Culture. Manhood Racing Culture can be found on Facebook as well as the World Wide Web as manhoodraceculture.com. We also ask that you support Arlie Gordon and Unity Design. Unity is spelled U-N-I-T-E-E, and they're on Facebook as well as the World Wide Web as unitydesign.com. So please reach out to them. Thank you for joining us for Friday Night with Brothers of the Sun. I'm going to give a few minutes for the callers to line up and our guest hosts of Brothers of the Sun, Brother December and Brother Starboy. I'll give them a chance to call in. If you're on the line, please press 1. I'm going to play a little bit of Bob Marley, and then we'll be right back to join you. You're listening to Sign of the Times, Friday Night with Brothers of the Sun. My name is Queen Tahira. We love you, appreciate you, and most of all, we respect you for your time and commitment it takes to be a part of the family. So we'll check this out, and we'll be right back.
Yeah, we can make it work. We definitely can make it work every time. So we better get up, stand up for your rights. Or someone would say we're coming in from the cold. Or another one would say sun is shining and the weather is sweet. And someone would say it's just love. And everyone would say everything. Let's move it.
Don't keep up the fight, 'cause we're sick and tired of it.
Welcome to Friday Nights with Brothers of the Sun, everyone. This is Queen Tahira. Thank you for listening to Sign of the Times through the New Power Radio Network. Peace, Brother December. How are you doing tonight?
I'm blessed. Thank you so much. Thank you. And you, how are you doing, sister?
I'm good, Brother December, hanging in here, waiting for Brother Star to join us, but I see Brother C is on the line as well. How was your week?
Blessed, sister, blessed. You know, like I said, I try not to complain, sister. You know, as long as we wake up, no matter the circumstances, no matter what happened, there's somebody every second, every minute who dies every day, you know, and it is a blessing to wake up and just to be alive. And I thank the Father in heaven for that. How was your week, sister?
It was rather eventful, Brother December. My brother, we found out, has liver cancer, so I spent some time with him, and, you know, anytime there's a family member that's ill, it causes the person to reflect. It should cause, you know, us to reflect on how appreciative we are, even for the challenges in our lives. So this has been a very reflective week for me in dealing with that whole thing. And he's at home now, and, you know, we're trying some holistic things with him as far as juices and, you know, making sure he gets certain nutrients into his body right away. But, you know, I think that they didn't tell me until they absolutely had to. So it's been a challenging week, but I'm still appreciative nonetheless for my health and strength and the health and strength of my children and grandchildren. So although it's been some challenges, we survived it another week, as we have a tendency to do as a nation of people.
Amen. Definitely a peace, sister, definitely. No matter what the circumstances may be, we still have to hold on and we cannot let go.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, we've also celebrated this week the anniversary of the Nat Turner Up. And, you know, as we, you know, look at our history and the things that made us who we are today, we can't forget days like that where people came together, kept what they needed to keep a secret until, you know, it was time to actually act upon, you know, put certain things in motion. I think that there's a lesson for us to learn from Brother Nat Turner, and the fact that, you know, he had more things working against him, if you will, than we do currently today. You know, he didn't have the access of mass media like we do. He didn't have support from other countries like we do. And, you know, he basically led that uprising with the support of his brothers and sisters, and not all of them, you know, as we know, you know, through meritorious manumission, not all of them were a part of, you know, trying to get our people free. And here it is, you know, some hundred odd years later, we're still trying to get free. So I just wanted to acknowledge that ancestor and the contribution that he made into our African history here in the America.
Definitely, sister. I think the saddest thing, you know, that I have to say about Nat Turner is that he came back. And he was doing something good for his people. And it was his people, again, that told on him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we have a lot of work to do within our people, because some of our people seem to be on the other side. You know, educated, none of educated. I mean, you know, they... mind is just not correct, and we don't know what's going on with them. We don't know what they are giving them to drink. We don't know what they are injecting into them, but it seems like a lot of our people have been bought. It was our people that gave him up, you know? Mm-hmm. And he was executed by them. I mean, this is something that we really have to sit down and talk about, you know, because we know that every leader that we have had for our people has definitely been infiltrated by our own people, you know, sold out by our own people, put in the FBI by our own people. They have a way to bring our own people to bring us down, you know. So there is a lot of mistrust in our people, you know, and it seems like, you know, whenever the white man wants something done to us, you know, he will definitely find our people where he can pay and to get the job done for them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something we really, really, you know, need to talk about and, you know, to understand that, because there's definitely something wrong with that, you know. And it's still going on still today.
Yeah. I mean, it's just gotten a little more covert and a little more sophisticated. But you're absolutely right. We've got, you know, city after city, Pittsburgh, New York, Philadelphia, Atlanta, Cincinnati, you know, Chicago, major cities where we have all of these so-called black figureheads in places of positions of trust and an obligation. They should have some obligation to do what's right by the community. But it's like, you know, how much more can we blame them, you know, the sellouts, if you will, and, you know, those that purchased them and their freedom and the freedom of their children. Knowingly or unknowingly, do they participate in this? How much more can we blame them when we continue to participate and to be subjected to it? You know, we haven't, I guess, gotten to the point where we're, you know, so upset about it that we're going to stop shopping at Walmart, that we're going to stop shopping at Kroger's. I don't know if that's the major grocery store where you are, but it is here in Cincinnati. As a matter of fact, it's headquarters here in Cincinnati. We're going to stop buying our insurance policies from these insurance companies who've made millions and millions of dollars for generation after generation based on the slave trade. You know, a lot of us are unaware that these major insurance companies began via the slave trade. So, you know, how much longer are we going to be willing participants in it and still say that we want change? It, after a while, it doesn't go together. Brother December, you here? Hello, Brother December? I think we lost you. Hello, Brother December. All right, I'm going to play a quick commercial, everybody. For those that are listening on the phone, please push 1 if you would like to come in queue. You're listening to Sign of the Times with Queen Tahira, Brother December, Brother Starboy, hopefully. He's had an emergency at work. I just got a message from him. And the rest of the Brothers of the Sun. So please push 1 if you'd like to come in queue, discuss the Nat Turner Rebellion and how we can learn from that in our history. And then we're going to go ahead and move into the topic of drug abuse and youth in the black community. So, let me see who this is. Peace, 1044, last four digits, 1044. Welcome to Sign of the Times. How are you doing?
Yes, hello. This is Mother Ray.
Oh, peace, Mother Ray. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Let me turn my phone up.
Good,
yes,
good.
Ray,
thank you.
I'm doing good. Yes, I've seen, you know, when you had a post done, you always trying to find out where was our spokesperson, Ray?
Yeah.
I listened to a little bit of the show last night, and I tried to come in the queue, but I guess you all were getting ready to go off. And I just wanted to let everybody know that spokesperson Ray is doing good. And I did receive a letter from him yesterday. And I had, I think Dara was on last night, was asking, you know, people to call about spokesperson Ray. But I don't want anyone to start calling right now, you know, concerning spokesperson Ray. And when the time comes, you know, for us to start calling, I will let you know.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
You know, I'll make sure that I will call you or either Latasha. One of us will call you and let you know when, you know, it's time that, you know, we start, you know, calling about spokesperson. Because we right now everything is, you know, kind of quiet, and we're working on some things for him, and we don't want to, you know, mess up anything.
Okay, okay. Well, that's good to hear. I thank you for calling and letting us know, because it threw up a red flag when, you know, we hadn't heard from him. I hadn't seen any posts lately, and, you know, we were just worried. That's all.
Well, you knew how to get in touch with me. Yeah, you should have gotten in touch with me, and I would have let you know. And and I think, yeah, someone was on last night was wanted to know if they could how to get some money, funds to spokesperson Ray. And he can accept money on his books, so they can put money on the books for me, and that's fine. They can do that. He can have. Mm-hmm.
All right. Now that I have your number, I will give you a call and get his contact information from you, and you know, put the person that wanted to make the contribution in touch with brother Ray.
Okay, all right, that'll be fine. Okay, so yeah, you just keep my number. And just go ahead and give me a call, and then I'll let you know everything you need to know.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you for calling.
All right,
and send our brother Ray.
I sure will. I'll let him know that I did talk to you.
Okay, yes, ma'am.
All right.
All right, peace. All right, y'all, we're going to try to get Brother December back on the line, and we'll see what happens with Brothers of the Sun tonight. Thank you for listening. This is Queen Tahira. We'll be right back.
Yes, yes, y'all, and you don't stop. To the beat, y'all, and you don't stop. Yes, yes, y'all, and you don't stop. A 1-2, y'all, and you don't stop. Yes, yes, y'all, and you don't stop. To the beat, comp says to be the short shot. Come on. Come
I met
on.
This girl when I was 10 years old. And what I love most, she had so much soul. She was old school. When I was just a shorty, never knew. Throughout my life, she would be there for me or the regular. Not a church girl, she was secular. Not about the money, those steps was my checker, but I respected her. She hit me in the heart. A few New York niggas had dinner in the park. But she was there for me, and I was there for her. Pull out a chair for her, turn on the air for her, and just cool out. Cool out and listen to her. Sitting on bone, wishing that I could do eventually. If it was meant to be, then it would be, cause we related physically and mentally, and she was fun then. I'd be geeked when she come around. Slim was fresh, Joe, when she was underground. Original, pure, untapped with a down sister. Boy, I tell you, I miss her.
Yes, yes, y'all, if you don't stop. Just the beat, y'all, if you don't stop. Yes, yes, y'all, if you don't stop. 1-2, y'all.
Now periodically I would see old girl at the clubs and at the house parties. She didn't have a body, but she started getting thick quick. Did a couple of videos and became Afrocentric. Out goes the weed, in goes the braids, beads, medallions. She was on that tip about stopping the violence. About my people she was teaching me. By not preaching to me, but speaking to me. In a method that was leisurely, so easily I approach. She dug my rap, that's how we got close. But then she broke to the west coast. And I was cool, cause around the same time I went away to school and I'm a man dub expanded. So why should I stand in her way? She probably get her money in LA. And she did study, she got big pub, but what was foul? She said that the pro black was going out of style. She said Afrocentricity was up the past. So she got into R&B, hip
house bass and jazz. Now black music is black music and it's all good. I wasn't salty, she was with the boys in the hood. Cause I was new for her, she was becoming well-rounded. I thought it was dope how she was on that freestyle shit, just having fun. Not worried about anyone and you can tell by how her titties hung.
Yes, yes, y'all, if you don't stop. This is the beat, y'all, if you don't stop. Yes, yes, y'all, if you don't stop.
Might have failed a bitch and that this chick was creative. Once the man got to her, he off to the native. So the if she got an image and a gimmick, then she can make money. And she did it like a dummy. Now I see her in commercials. She's universal. She used to only swing it with the inner city circle. Now she be in the burbs looking rockin', dressed hippie. And on some dumb shit when she comes to the city. Talking about popping rocks, serving rocks and hitting switches. Now she's a gangster rolling with gangster bitches. Always smoking blunts and getting drunk. Telling me sad stories. Now she only fucks with the funk. Stressing how hardcore and real she is. She was really the realest before she got into showbiz. I did her. Not just a state, I did it, but I'm committed. But so many niggas hit it that she's just not the same. Letting all these groupies do her. I see niggas slamming her and taking her to the sewer. But I'ma take her back, hoping that this shit stop. Cause who I'm talking about, y'all, is hip hop.
To the beat, y'all, and you don't stop. Yes, yes, y'all, and you don't stop. The mainframe, yo, they gotta be the short shot. Yes, yes, y'all, and you don't stop. To the beat, y'all, and you don't stop. Yes, yes, y'all, and you don't stop. A 1-2 comp since it's gold to drop. Ha 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 ha.
I'm somewhere the golden diamonds are ripped from the earth. Right next to the slave castles where the water is cold. Where police brutality's not half as night. It makes the hood in America look like paradise. Compared to the AIDS effect of Caribbean slum. African streets with a passport from American gun. From where they massacre people and try to keep it quiet. And spend the next 25 years trying to deny it. I'm from where they cut your hands off if you make a fit. And niggas stole coke on cause the job market doesn't exist. Except slave labor, modern day company store. The peacekeepers don't ever come here no more. From where the bombs that they used to drop on Vietnam. Still our children born deformed 8 months before they gone. I'm from where they lost the full meaning of the Quran. Cause heroin is not compatible with Islam. And niggas know that but grow that poppy seed anyway. Cause that food rap parachute does not come every day. I'm from where people pray to the gods that they call. And practically every president's a money launderer. From where the only place democracy's acceptable is if America's candidate is electable. And they might even have a black president, but he's useless cause he does not control the economy, stupid. Lock and load your gun where I'm from, the third world. Son to many places, but I'm third world born. Gorillas didn't run where I'm from, the third world. Son, you polluted everything and now the third world's gone. The water's poison where I'm from, the third world. Son, 700 children died by the end of the storm. Revolution will come where I'm from, the third world, son. Constant occupation leaves the third world torn. I'm from where the Catholic Church is some racist shit. They help Europe and America rape this bitch. They pray to white Spanish Jesus, whose face is this? But never talk about the black Pope Galatius. I'm from where Soviet weapons still decide elections. Militaries like the mafia, you pay for protection. Catamite sex clauses with the country sells. And rich white businessmen make the best clientele. I'm from where they too pussy to come film Survivor. And they murder Coca-Cola,
union organizers. I'm from where the justice system is está podrido. Fuck government, niggas politic over perico. Rebelde conocido, enterrado vivo. Como otro argentino desaparecido. Cause Rico laws don't apply to the CIA. And motherfuckers make sneakers for a quarter a day. I'm from where they overthrow democratic leaders. Not for the people, but for the Wall Street Journal readers. From where blacks, indigenous peoples, and Asians were once slaves of the Caucasians. And it's amazing how they trained them to be racist against themselves in the place they was raised. And you kept us caged in, destroyed our culture and said that you civilized us. Raped our women, and when we were born, you despised us. Gentrified us, agent provocateur divide us. And crucified every revolutionary messiah. So I'm a start of global riots. It's not even your fake anti-communist dictators can keep quiet. Fuck your charity medicine trying to murder me. The immunizations you gave us were full of mercury. So now I see the third world like the rap game soldier. Nationalize the industry and take it over. Lock and load your gun where I'm from, the third world. Son in the many places, but I'm third world born. Gorillas didn't run where I'm from, the third world. Son, you polluted everything and now the third world's gone. The water's poison where I'm from, the third world. Son, 700 children died by the end of the song. Revolution will come where I'm from, the third world. Son, constant occupation leaves the third world gone.
Welcome back. You're listening to Friday Night with Brothers of the Sun. Brother December, are you on the line? All right, y'all. We seem to be having some technical difficulties with Blog Talk again. Brother December nor Brother Starboy are on the line, or at least I can't seem to open up their mics. So I don't know what's going on with this thing. So we're gonna try to hang out for a little while longer, and I'll try them back again. All right. I appreciate you all's patience, though, working through this thing. I don't know what's going on. So the first joint we heard was Common, I Used to Love Her, and the second one was Immortal Technique, The Third World. Please check out their joints on YouTube. So I don't know what to do, y'all. Like, I'm not supposed to host technically on Friday nights. I'm just kind of supposed to get the ball rolling. So, if I can't get Brother Star or Brother December's mics open, I'm going to have to go ahead and call the broadcast for the night. But I appreciate y'all. I'm going to try to hang out for a little bit longer and see what happens. Thank you for your patience.
You know, we're dealing with a very critical and crucial time. Most crucial and critical time that I've ever witnessed. Being as young as I am, you know. We all don't want to say nothing else, but we say as young as we are. Now, I want to talk about the pronunciation and the realization. Now, the educator, they call it ESP, positive thinking, right? Some of the people on the cross other side of the pond call it vibe, vibration, astrology, and all those different things, you understand? But I call what it is and what it is. What it is and what it is. Look at him. Now you see, a brother, you take in the ghetto, you find a whole lot of crime. I can understand, hey, I know what it means. Being 9 years old before I got my first pair of underwear out of a store. You know, putting on a half press suit from the pawn shop. With tennis shoes, trying to be hip, so I know where it's coming from. like the fella say, having catfish head stew. And look like the catfish went in there with his head and come out very quick and didn't leave nothing else. That's one thing the educators and the politicians and the establishment got to remember. Now, brothers, these jobs, you don't work, you can't eat. If you don't work, you can't eat. Get hip to yourself, good start, my brother, and get it from the street. You don't work, you can't eat. Sis, you don't work, no, you can't eat. So you got to have mind power to deal with starvation. And that's what we're dealing with. You see, we can't go back to the biblical stories. Two loaves of bread, or two little fishes, five loaves of bread. Two little fishes, yeah. Five loaves of bread. Now look here, too many brothers to go by that. Now I want your brothers to dig where we're coming from. Set your mind right here. Dig the JBE experience. I dug this from a young man out of New York. He said the GBE. The TBE. Now we want to take it to the JBE. The JBE experience. Now, Fred, brother, brother, lay it on me, lay it. Mind power. ain't it funky now? That love power, funky robot, that fine power. JB, D is furious. JB, E. Now back to the, and meanwhile back to the ranch. Let's talk about the things what that we deal with each and every day. Now horn, now horn. Let's tell everybody what it is and what it is. 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 What it is. You can't change it. Don't try to change it. Be with it. Don't fool yourself. Look in the mirror. You find you can't fool yourself. You gotta deal with it. What it is. What it is. Tell me. Deal with it. Wait a minute. Now look here. I believe we should go back to the top. I want to go back to the beginning. Because I let your old Morgan play them funky sticks over there. Now we'll build it up a little bit and we'll tell them what it is and what it is. 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 Give me some horns. What it is and what it is. What is it, what is it? Give me a taste. Hit me. I want to go way back there. To the top. Way back there. Right now.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Queen Tahiri, listening to Sign of the Times. We're going to have to turn this into a listening session because I'm having some technical issues with Blog Talk. So thank you for listening, and please stay tuned for Brother Malcolm.
Well, I think to teach a man to hate himself is much more criminal than teaching him to hate someone else. And look at you. Who taught you to hate yourself?
To understand this, you have to go back to what young brother here referred to as the house Negro and the field Negro back during slavery. There was two kinds of slaves. There was the house Negro and the field Negro. The house Negro, they lived in the house with master. They dressed pretty good. They ate good because they ate his food, what he left. They lived in the attic or the basement. But still they lived near their master. And they loved their master more than the master loved himself. They would give their life to save their master's house quicker than the master would. The house Negro, if the master said, "We got a good house here," the house Negro said, "Yeah, we got a good house here." Whenever the master said "we," he said "we." That's how you can tell a house Negro. If the master's house caught on fire, the house Negro would fight harder to put the blaze out than the master would. Sick. The house Negro would say, "What's the matter, boss? We sick. We sick." He identified himself with his master more than his master identified with himself. And if you came to the house, Negro, and said, let's run away, let's escape, let's separate, that house Negro would look at you and say, man, you crazy. What you mean separate? Where is there a better house than this? Where can I wear better clothes than this? Where can I eat better food than this? That was that house Negro. In those days, he was called a house nigger. And that's what we call him today, because we still got some house niggers running around here. This modern house Negro loves his master. He wants to live near him. He'll pay three times as much as the house is worth just to live near his master. And then brag about, I'm the only Negro out here. I'm the only one on my job. I'm the only one in this school. You're nothing but a house Negro. And if someone come to you right now and say, let's separate, you say the same thing that the house Negro said on the plantation. What you mean, separate? From America? This good white man? Where you gonna get a better job than you get here? I mean, this is what you say. I ain't left nothing in Africa. That's what you say. Why, you left your mind in Africa. On that same plantation, there was the field Negro. The field Negro, those were the masses. There was always more Negroes in the field than there was Negroes in the house. The Negro in the field caught hell. He ate leftovers. In the house, they ate high up on the hog. The Negro in the field didn't get nothing but what was left of the insides of the hog. They call them chitlins nowadays. In those days, they call them what they were, guts. That's what you were, a gut eater. And some of you are still gut eaters. The field Negro was beaten from morning till night. He lived in a shack, in a hut. He wore cast-off clothes. And he hated his master. I say he hated his master. He was intelligent. That house Negro loved his master. But that field Negro, remember, they were in the majority. And they hated the master. When the house caught on fire, he didn't try and put it out. That field Negro prayed for a wind, for a breeze. When the master got sick, the field Negro prayed that he died. If someone come to the field Negro and said, let's separate, let's run, he didn't say, where are we going? He said, any place is better than here. You got field Negroes in America today. I'm a field Negro. The masses are the field Negroes. When they see this man's house on fire, you don't hear these little Negroes talking about our government is in trouble. They say the government is in trouble. Imagine a Negro, our government. I even heard one say, our astronauts. They won't even let him near the plant. And our astronauts, our Navy, that's a Negro that's out of his mind. That's a Negro that's out of his mind.
just as the slave master in that day used Tom, the house Negro, to keep the field Negroes in check, the same old slave master today has Negroes who are nothing but modern Uncle Toms, 20th century Uncle Toms, to keep you and me in check, keep us under control, keep us passive and peaceful and nonviolent. That's Tom making you nonviolent. It's like when you go to the dentist and the man is going to take your tooth. You're going to fight him when he start pulling. So they squirt some stuff in your jaw called Novocaine to make you think they're not doing anything to you. So you sit there, and because you got all that Novocaine in your jaw, you suffer peacefully. Blood running all down your jaw. And you don't know what's happening. Because someone has taught you to suffer peacefully. The white man do the same thing to you in the street. When he gonna want to put knots on your head and take advantage of you and don't have to be afraid of you fighting back, to keep you from fighting back, he get these old religious Uncle Toms to teach you and me that just like Novocaine, suffer peacefully. Don't stop suffering, just suffer peacefully. As Reverend Cleek pointed out, let your blood flow in the streets. This is a shame. And you know he's a Christian preacher. If it's a shame to him, you know what it is to me. Because nothing in our book, the Quran, as you call it, Koran, teaches us to suffer peacefully. Our religion teaches us to be intelligent, be peaceful, be courteous, obey the law, respect everyone. But if someone puts his hand on you, send them to the cemetery. That's a good religion. In fact, that's that old-time religion. That's the one that Ma and Pa used to talk about. An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth, and a head for a head, and a life for a life. That's a good religion. And then anybody, no one resents that kind of religion being taught but a wolf who intends to make you his meal. This is the way it is with the white man in America. He's a wolf and you a sheep. Anytime a shepherd, a pastor, teach you and me not to run from the white man, and at the same time teachers don't fight the white man, he's a traitor to you and me. Don't lay down our life all by itself. No. Preserve your life. It's the best thing you got. And if you got to give it up, let it be even Stephen. The slave master took Tom and dressed him well and fed him well and even gave him a little education, a little education. Gave him a long coat and a top hat and made all the other slaves look up to him. Then he used Tom to control them. The same strategy that was used in those days is used today by the same white man. He take a Negro, so-called Negro, and make him prominent. Build him up. Publicize him. Make him a celebrity. And then he becomes a spokesman for Negroes and a Negro leader. would like to just mention one thing else quickly, and that is the method that the white man uses, how the white man uses these big guns or Negro leaders against the black revolution. They are not a part of the black revolution. They're used against the black revolution. When Martin Luther King failed to desegregate Albany, Georgia, the civil rights struggle in America reached its low point. King became bankrupt almost as a leader. Plus, even financially, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference was in financial trouble. Plus, it was in trouble, period, with the people when they failed to desegregate Albany, Georgia. Other Negro civil rights leaders of so-called national stature became fallen idols. As they became fallen idols, began to lose their prestige and influence, local Negro leaders began to stir up the masses. In Cambridge, Maryland, Gloria Richardson. In Danville, Virginia, and other parts of the country, local leaders begin to stir up our people at the grassroots level. This was never done by these Negroes whom you recognize of national stature. They controlled you, but they never incited you or excited you. They controlled you. They contained you. They kept you on the plantation. As soon as King failed in Birmingham, Negroes took to the streets. King got out and went out to California to a big rally and raised about, I don't know how many thousands of dollars. Come to Detroit and had a march and raised some more thousands of dollars. And recall, right after that, Wilkins attacked King, accused King and the Corps of starting trouble everywhere and then making the NAACP get him out of jail and spend a lot of money, and then he accused King and Corps of raising all the money and not paying it back. This happened. I got it in documented evidence in the newspaper. Roy started attacking King, and King started attacking Roy, and Farmer started attacking both of them. And as these Negroes of national stature begin to attack each other, they begin to lose their control of the Negro masses. And Negroes was out there in the streets. They was talking about, we're going to march on Washington. By the way, right at that time, Birmingham had exploded, and the Negroes in Birmingham, remember, they also exploded. They began to stab the crackers in the back and bust them upside the head. Yes, they did. That's when Kennedy sent in the troops down in Birmingham. So, and right after that, Kennedy got on the television and said, this is a moral issue. That's when he said he's going to put out a civil rights bill. And when he mentioned civil rights bill and the Southern crackers started talking about they were going to boycott it or filibuster it, then the Negroes started talking about what? We're going to march on Washington, march on the Senate, march on the White House, march on the Congress and tie it up, bring it to a halt. Don't let the government proceed. They even said they were going to go out to the airport and lay down on the runway and don't let no airplanes land. I'm telling you what they said. That was revolution. That was revolution. That was the black revolution. It was the grassroots out there in the street. Scared the white man to death. Scared the white power structure in Washington, D.C. to death. I was there. When they found out that this black steamroller was going to come down on the Capitol, they called in Wilkins. They called in Randolph. They called in these national Negro leaders that you respect. And told them, call it off. Kennedy said, look, y'all letting this thing go too far. And old Tom said, boss, I can't stop it because I didn't start it. I'm telling you what they said. They said, I'm not even in it, much less at the head of it. They said, these Negroes are doing things on their own. They're running ahead of us. And that old shrewd fox, he said, well, if you all aren't in it, I'll put you in it. I'll put you at the head of it. I'll endorse it. I'll welcome it. I'll help it. I'll join it. A matter of hours went by. They had a meeting at the Carlisle Hotel in New York City. The Carlisle Hotel is owned by the Kennedy family. That's the hotel Kennedy spent the night at two nights ago. Belongs to his family. A philanthropic society headed by a white man named Stephen Currier called all the top civil rights leaders together at the Carlisle Hotel and told them that by you all fighting each other, you're destroying the civil rights movement. And since you're fighting over money from white liberals, let us set up what's known as the Council for United Civil Rights Leadership. Let's form this council, and all the civil rights organizations will belong to it. And we'll use it for fundraising purposes. Let me show you how tricky the white man is. And as soon as they got it formed, they elected Whitney Young as the chairman. And who you think became the co-chairman? Stephen Currier, the white man. A millionaire. Powell was talking about it down at the Cobo today. This is what he was talking about. Powell knows it happened. Randolph knows it happened. Wilkins knows it happened. King knows it happened. Every one of that so-called Big Six, they know what happened. Once they formed it, with the white man over it, he promised them and gave them $800,000 to split up between the Big Six and told them that after the march was over, they'd give them $700,000 more. $1.5 million split up between leaders that you've been following, going to jail for, crying crocodile tears for, and they've nothing but Frank James and Jesse James and what you call it, brothers. Soon as they got the setup organized, the white men made available to them top public relations experts. Opened the news media across the country at their disposal. And then they began to project these Big Six as the leaders of the march. Originally, they weren't even in the march. You was talking this march talk on Hastings Street. Is Hastings Street still here? On Hastings Street. You was talking the march talk on Lenox Avenue. And down on, Fillmore Street, and Central Avenue, and 42nd Street, and 63rd Street. That's where the march talk was being talked. But the white man put the Big Six ahead of it. Made them the march. They became the march. They took it over. And the first move they made after they took it over, they invited Walter Reuther, a white man. They invited a priest. A rabbi and an old white preacher. Yes, an old white preacher. The same white element that put Kennedy in power. Labor, the Catholics, the Jews, and liberal Protestants. Same clique that put Kennedy in power joined the March on Washington. It's just like when you got some coffee that's too black, which means it's too strong. What you do? You integrate it with cream. You make it weak. If you pour too much cream in, you won't even know you ever had coffee. It used to be hot, it becomes cool. It used to be strong, it becomes weak. It used to wake you up, now it'll put you to sleep. This is what they did with the March on Washington. They joined it. They didn't integrate it, they infiltrated it. They joined it, became a part of it, took it over. And as they took it over, it lost its militancy. They ceased to be angry. They ceased to be hot. They ceased to be uncompromising. Why, it even ceased to be a march. It became a picnic, a circus. Nothing but a circus. with clowns and all. You had one right here in Detroit. I saw it on television with clowns leading it, white clowns and black clowns. I know you don't like what I'm saying, but I'm going to tell you anyway, because I can prove what I'm saying. If you think I'm telling you wrong, you bring me Martin Luther King and A. Philip Randolph and James Farmer and those other three and see if they'll deny it over a microphone. No, it was a sellout. It was a takeover. When James Baldwin came in from Paris, they wouldn't let him talk because they couldn't make him go by the script. Bert Lancaster read the speech that Baldwin was supposed to make. They wouldn't let Baldwin get up there because they know Baldwin liable to say anything. They controlled it so tight, they told those Negroes what time to hit town, how to come, where to stop, what sign to carry, what song to sing, what speech they could make and what speech they couldn't make, and then told them to get out of town by sundown. And every one of those toms were out of town by sundown. Now, I know you don't like my saying this, but I can back it up. It was a circus, a performance. It beat anything Hollywood could ever do. The performance of the year. Ruther and those other three devils should get an Academy Award for the best actors because they acted like they really loved Negroes and fooled a whole lot of Negroes. And the six Negro leaders should get an award, too, for the best supporting cast.